Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly! Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Making Sam, taking you to jungle lands. Bengals pride, it fills the air. Every week we're always there. Touchdowns, tackles, all the plays. Bengals roaring every way. Stories, news, and game recaps. Jungle juice, we bridge those gaps. Welcome to the Jungle Juice. Nick and Sam, let's break it loose. Cincinnati, hear our call. Bengals fans, unite us all.
Welcome into the latest edition of the Jungle Juice podcast. I'm Sam Gormley. He's Mick Nelson. Mick, how's it going? It is raining really hard here in West Central Kentucky. We're in this weird spot where nobody really knows where we are.
Yeah, it is not raining here. I don't know. It's just getting dark at like 5:30 every day now, which for you, it gets dark at what, like 4:30?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's about what time I get off work. And there's nothing more depressing than when you're, and I mean, I work from home, so it's not as quite as, but when I worked in the office, I would walk outside, you know, to go home at about 4:20. And it would be dark out. And I'm like, this is absolutely depressing. But I guess it takes a couple of weeks to get used to it. But I'm not really the fan of it being dark early because, and I think you're the same way, Mick, neither one of us are morning people. We are very much night owls at heart. So it is just doing. Mick does just keep moving around in his house. He's just showing off that he has many spaces to record the podcast. And whereas
I don't
me,
have like it's a dedicated insane. Space. Like, I don't know. I might end up getting like a desktop and then getting a webcam at some point.
Ooh.
But
are you going to get a setup like me here?
I already have a setup. Like, I can actually show you right now. Like,
we're going on the road here. Look at this. See, like, well, I'm like, locked in. Hey,
can you see my work from home setup?
We can. And we see a TV. Look at Mick's living room. Look at that. Wow. Fancy.
I know. There's some kitchen over there. I keep moving around. I like this corner a lot, though. I like this corner. Got a nice little window in the back. The curtains are like orange, little orange, so kind of fits the theme a little bit, you know.
You just need your Bengals sign to hang back there. That's an inside joke between us, I guess, when it comes to it. But appreciate you taking the time to join into today's show. We got a big one planned. There's a lot going on. Recapping a little bit about Bengals Ravens, even though it's been a week. But I feel like because of that, Mick, we're a little bit more okay to talk about it, because I don't know that I necessarily would have wanted to do like a show the next day, because that was a weird game, a lot going on. There's a lot to like, a lot to not like, but we'll dive all the way into that. On Sunday, though, this might be the season for the Bengals as they travel to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. Jim Harbaugh game. They get the Harbaughs back-to-back weeks on primetime. It is going to be something to keep an eye on as it goes along. There's no question about that. But we invite you to follow us on our social media channels. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're also on Twitter. You can also subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting platform. We are on pretty much, I think, all of them. I don't know that there's one that we are not on. But, Mick, let's hit a couple of the news headlines before we roll in here today. Because it was a busy roster week for the Bengals.
There's a lot of nothing going on. They had some things. They trade for a receiver from Detroit.
Yes.
I do not know the guy's name.
Well, I've got his name. They claim a wide receiver.
I'm going to guess his name.
Oh, do you know his name? So you have no idea what his name is?
I've seen it like twice, and it's just like one of those like kind of basic names. Is it like
do you know anything about him?
Isaiah Williams?
Look at you, Isaiah Williams. Where did Isaiah Williams go to college?
Yeah, I got that right. Texas?
No.
Was it a Big 12 school?
It was not. Big 10. He went to Illinois last year. He has 8 snaps for the Lions this year, Isaiah Williams. The Bengals claim him. Last year with Illinois, though, caught 82 passes for 1,055 yards and 5 touchdowns. He was almost exclusively a slot guy at Illinois.
Is this guy related to Juice Williams, or is that Mark saying that there is no relation?
I think he's saying that there is no relation between that. So it's primarily a slot guy, which has been a weakness for the Bengals. They've been able to put Jamar Chase in the slot and had success there. But other than that, you know, the thought was of Yoshi. He'd be the slot guy. That hasn't worked. Charlie Jones has been able to stay healthy. That hasn't worked. Trenton Irwin, that hasn't worked. So they're just trying to find something to work into the slot for the Bengals. And they're hoping that Isaiah Williams can be that guy. But I don't know that this is going to be anything more than maybe another body into that wide receiver room. And I don't really know what expectations, if any, we should absolutely have for Isaiah Williams.
Yeah.
The Bengals did attempt to, they did put in a claim though for Yannick Ngakoue, and
of course they did. They've tried to put in claims for players, they just never seem to get them, which just kind of sucks. I know you can't do anything about where you're picking in the where you're at priority wise. In the waiver wire, I guess. Yeah, I guess the Patriots have a worse record, so they get a priority in waiver wire claims, just like I do in fantasy football because I suck at it. Actually, I don't have priority in our league because I think I do too many transactions.
That is an understatement. You make more transactions. I think, in all seriousness, in the league we are in together, I think you've made more transactions in the last 72 hours than I've made all season on our team.
What did I do in the last 72?
I don't even know. I just feel like
over like 4 guys. But here's the thing: you got it. I think leagues are what, and I had a lot of success with this last year. Not in our league because I am cursed in our league. But the more you're scouring the waiver wire, probably the better. Like in my opinion, that you know, you're not. It's not like I'm selling off. Like I've been selling off like people I drafted in the last 5 rounds of the draft. You know, for more promising, you know, bench spots, I would think. I don't know. And then I also live in, we don't have a defense and a kicker in our league, but I always just swap those out week in and week out because I don't see a point in keeping a defense or a kicker on the roster when they're all pretty comparable with one another.
Unless the Bengals defense, because that one gets you a bunch of negative points here sometimes, even though sometimes they're not.
I think I started them against... Shit, yeah, I start them against Giants. They actually did good for me.
Okay, that would have been a week that they could do. So Yannick Ngakoue not going to be a Bengal. And then on Monday, it comes out that the Bengals are going to bring in Leonard Fournette and Xavien Howard for a workout. And people were like, oh, okay, those are two names that I know. Exactly. And then what, 4, 5, 6 hours later, both leave without a deal. Xavien Howard apparently was offered a contract and said no. I would imagine that the offer that the Bengals gave Xavien Howard was probably pretty close to the vet minimum, just because...
What was that, 750?
Something like that in change or whatever it is. And he said no to that. Does either one of them saying no actually matter to you, Mick?
Not really.
Because I don't know that Leonard Fournette is...
Xavien Howard's on the couch for a reason. Leonard Fournette's on the couch for a reason. It's not like anybody else was ready to scoop him up right after, you know, the Bengals didn't want him, you know, or didn't want to sign him, you know. But I think that they showed a want to try and add some depth to these positions and, you know, maybe hopefully the right guy comes along or something along those lines, man. But I don't know. You know, obviously those guys just didn't work out, and it's probably more on those guys than the Bengals being cheap. I mean, why would you?
Xavien Howard as well, too, has some off-the-field issues.
That's what I've heard.
In the last things, including sending some pictures to sons of, just read into it if you want to. It's some, honestly, it's some disgusting stuff.
Is it like some, Earl Thomas shit?
I don't even know. And honestly, it's not something that we probably should even, it's disgusting. And probably something that the Bengals have done good and just saying. And I think, like Krista says, we don't need another project or drama. I don't know that he would have been a drama, but it still is kind of a black cloud surrounding him and his situation. But the Bengals did make one signing. Oh, go on.
I think the same thing with Leonard Floyd, maybe none of the disgusting stuff off the field, but I don't think Leonard Floyd is like a very welcoming, Fournette is a welcome. I say Floyd.
Yes.
Leonard Fournette is a welcoming or great like presence in a locker room. He always seemed to kind of like have that kind of attitude about him, just watching interviews and just, you know, body language and shit like that. I just didn't think that. That would have been a good culture fit either anyways.
The Bengals did make one signing, though. They signed Gary Brightwell to their practice squad. Hey,
former Giants running back. Yeah.
Yeah, six-round pick from Arizona in 2021. Not a lot of experience. Well, really, barely any at all. This is to fill the Kendall Milton role. Since he was brought up, they didn't have another running back on their practice squad. The hope is that Gary Brightwell never sees the field. He's just another body into that room that they need. It's just that continuous kind of change in cycle.
Or did they just not want to activate him?
Kendall Milton's on the active roster now. So they signed Kendall Milton to the active roster. It would just be four.
Brown. Oh, I guess Moss got hurt, right?
Yeah, so Moss is on IR and out for the season.
Yeah, okay, you do have four.
So it's just four with that. So this is just continuing that trend of moving it along. So that's pretty much our news headlines for the week for the Bengals. Not a lot of news, but still some interesting things on them trying to, quote-unquote, get better as it goes along. But let's go back now to Thursday. Bengals lose a thriller in Baltimore by a final score of 35-34. It was, and it's very like it's wild on how similar the two games were in the fact of, I know that on Friday nights, you know, I do high school football games, and the guy that does games with me is a Cowboys fan. And he told me, he's like, man, that was just such a great football game. And I was like, yeah, for a Cowboys fan, like, wow, that had to have been phenomenal. You know, there was a Colts fan that I talked to. I was like, it had to have been great because you really didn't care who won. You were just there hoping for an entertaining football game. And for the second straight time, Bengals-Ravens delivered a classic of a football game.
Yeah. And I think that's why I wasn't too hurt like by the end result of this, as a lot of other people were. Just the fact that we were able to put out a really good product on the offensive side of the football, at least, and you know, go toe-to-toe with Lamar, which, let's face it, not really any team other than us and I guess the Chiefs, and you know, they've had a couple dud games here and there, but when they're on their A game, the Raiders game, and they had another one. Who did they lose to?
The Browns game. It's just hilarious.
You caught the good end of Jameis football variants, and then, you know, he has a lot more on the bad end. Anyways, I just think that the fact that it was such a good game, and I mean, we were there to the very end. You know, it came down to a 2-point conversion. You know, flags were, you know, penalties were missed, but to give, you know, some slack to the refs. I mean, they called penalties on the Ravens like four or five times on that game, potentially game winning drive on that game ending drive. So it's just like, I mean, you can't be calling a penalty on every play. That's where.
Here's my biggest takeaway from the Bengals Ravens game. And it is pretty simple from this. And you might say that it is just a little bit biased, but my biggest takeaway is that Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in the NFL, hands down. And I think you saw that on Thursday. And here's my reasoning as to why. You know, he goes in on a short week, prime time, against a really good football team. Now, not a great defense, but still a good football team without his best offensive lineman, by far his best offensive lineman, a elite wide receiver. He goes in there. He lost one of his best tight ends, his rookies, you know, Eric Hall. I think that that loss is more than people are really going to live up to it. He had Cody freaking Ford as his left tackle and almost beat the team that very well could win the Super Bowl on their home field in a game where the opposing teams were two of their last 15 playing road primetime games. Joe Burrow was incredible. I mean, 34 of 56, 428 yards, four touchdowns, pressured constantly. He made two bad throws, I think you could say. You know, the interception that wasn't an interception, that was a bad throw. That was a bad decision by Joe Burrow. And then I think on the 4th and 2, where he decided to go deep to Jermaine Burton instead of going underneath Ja'Marr Chase, that was a bad decision. But other than that, I don't really think, like Payne says here, you know, if we had a record that matched the Ravens, Joe would be a talk in the MVP race. Absolutely. Yeah, no, they win those two games against the Ravens. Joe Burrow is the heavy favorite to win MVP.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think Burrow was, given everything that's going on around him, like you said, T. Higgins hasn't been playing. Orlando Brown Jr. has been out. The rest of the offensive line is just, you know, they seem to fold against good pass rush units, which, that tends to happen against teams that have a good pass rush. But just given all that, and for Burrow to play the way that he does, and it kind of sucks because we don't have a lot of clutch game-winning drives from Joe Burrow. It doesn't feel like, at least. And it seems like anytime he does it, you know, the defense gives up a game-winning field goal at the end of the game, or you know, you have a 2-point conversion where things just didn't go the way, you know, that you needed them to go. So it just kind of sucks that, you know, he hasn't, you know, we haven't been able to kind of close out games like that. And part of me wonders if we're just, you know, part of me wonders if it is bad luck. Honestly, it's just, you know, in one score games like this, you're expected to get like 500 in one score games is usually what it is. And I feel like we have caught the really bad end of variance with that this season.
And then you see another team who is single win.
Chiefs. You talk about the team that magically just blocks a game-winning field goal, you know, chip
Wouldn't shot. It be nice to have some dark magic?
I remember watching that live on Sunday, and I was like, I guarantee this field goal is either going to get shanked or blocked because the Chiefs just have they made a pact with somebody, man. They're just winning in the most ridiculously
how do we make a pact like that? The other thing though we have to talk about as well is, as good as Joe Burrow was, I know we posted, give Ja'Marr Chase whatever the hell he wants. Whatever he wants, literally, if whatever he wants. I mean, 11 catches, 264 yards, 3 touchdowns, nearly a perfect passer rating when targeted. I mean, listen, as Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, Justin Jefferson's incredible. He's a phenomenal wide receiver, but God blessed is Ja'Marr Chase really freaking good.
Well, it's just that Ja'Marr Chase just has a whole different game from Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson is that security blanket. He's got maybe not Ja'Marr speed, but pretty close to Ja'Marr speed and a T. Higgins catch radius that I don't know if Ja'Marr necessarily has, but Ja'Marr Chase just has that Tyreek Hill ability about him where he can just absolutely gash a defense at the drop of a dime, and he did it twice. Well, he really did it once. The other one was a beautiful ball by Jerry.
We could say he did it twice against the Ravens, though, because he did the same thing in the game back in week five or six or whenever it was.
He turned a short a short route to a, like a 70-yard touchdown. So, yeah, no, he did do that in that game. I'll agree with that. But, yeah, I just think I don't know if there's a best wide receiver in the NFL. I think these elite guys just do it in different ways, and it kind of just depends on which way you prefer. I love the explosion. The explosion's awesome. Like, you know, you've watched Tyreek Hill do it for years. Watched Ja'Marr Chase do it the past 4 years. But Ja'Marr had a fantastic game. And it's a game that they needed from him, because the rest of the wide receiver unit didn't do shit. They didn't do anything. You know, Chase Brown was decent. He was really the number two target. But you look at Andre Yoshivash, another pretty much abysmal game, 2 of 4 targets, 29 yards, 0.58 yards per route ran. He did have a contested catch, which is cool, I guess. Gesicki really didn't do much, 4 of 9 targets for 30 yards. Jermaine Burton, which I don't think him and Joe Burrow are on the same page yet. I think that's an understatement, because it just seemed like he was nowhere near the balls that Joe Burrow threw for him. Now, I don't know if they were on Joe Burrow, because I think a lot of those plays he was under duress, and maybe the trajectory on the ball isn't where he needed it to be. Or was it on Jermaine Burton? Because, we've heard everything about, you know, him and the playbook and all that stuff. So,
without question, I'll tell you, the as good as Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase were, and they deserve all of the credit, the number three thing that I liked the most from that game was Zach Taylor's aggressiveness.
Yeah.
Listen, the decision to go for two. When they were driving down the field, I was thinking it to myself, you're going for two here. You're going for two. And as soon as the play did, I said, you know what? Yep, go for it. And I saw Joe Burrow immediately hold up too. Like, he was almost telling Zach Taylor, it's Zach Taylor's call regardless, saying, hey, we're going for two here. At the time, Mick, before the play even happened, when it was 35-34, I was all in on going for two. Were you?
I think I could have gone either way on it. At that point, if Joe Burrow saying, hey, I want to go for two, I'd just say, you know what, Joe, we pay you a lot of money and you're really good at your job. You're going to be here potentially a lot longer than I'm going to be here. I'll go with whatever Joe Burrow wants to do in that situation. But if you wanted to kick for it, I would have been okay with it if they, you know, I wasn't against them going for two by any stretch of the imagination. I thought it was an okay call. But really, I guess what happens on defense on the next drive? Like, you know, are you playing more aggressively? If you do convert that 2-point conversion, maybe that changes how you do your defensive coverage and in pass rush stunts and all that stuff. I didn't hate the go for two decision by Zach.
Yeah, I think it was 100% the right decision. And I would have been disappointed if he wouldn't have made that decision, because this at least gives you put the ball in Joe Burrow's hands and you say, go win the game. Now, listen, obviously you would have still needed a stop, and Lamar would have needed what? 25 yards?
For a Justin Tucker field goal.
Exactly. 25, maybe 30 yards. We'll just say that. Let's just say 30 yards in 30 seconds with two timeouts. Now, is he probably going to have that? Yes. But Justin Tucker had already missed earlier in the day. Now, I mean, would Justin Tucker have missed if the game was on the line? Probably not. Of course he wouldn't have, because the Bengals never get that lucky. But still, it was, I think, 100% the right decision to go for it. I think on fourth down, I love the aggressiveness going forward a lot. He realized, and he even said, it was either post-game or on Monday or something, that 3 points isn't going to win that game. You needed 7. You had to keep being aggressive. And I know that people have been critical of Zach Taylor saying, oh, well, why is he calling a go ball on fourth down? I doubt that was his call. It was just the decision that Joe Burrow made to go deep. Now,
they weren't bad decisions either. I think that whenever he went deep on that fourth down attempt, I'm pretty sure it was single coverage from was that a Jermaine Burton target?
Both of them were to Jermaine.
One of them was completely off. I don't know what the hell happened on that one, but one of them it was single coverage, and I think, you know, if say if it were T or Jamar, that play might have been, you know, different than the outcome ended up being.
Not Yoshi, not in that category?
Probably.
No? But I just loved the aggressiveness of Zach Taylor. And part of it was I was surprised at the backlash. I know that people just like to, after a game of, you know, when they lose, it's the coach's fault every single time. And listen, the defense, we're going to get to that here in a minute. But I just think that he did a pretty decent job in calling the game. Like, I mean, and offensively, hell, you hung 34 points. How many times are you going to win that game? More times than not. I mean, Mick, if I would have told you, Joe Burrow goes 428 for four touchdowns, Jamar Chase 264 and three touchdowns, you're probably thinking the Bengals won the football game.
Yep. I would think so as well. And I think I saw something that we have the NFL leaders in passing yards, receiving yards, and sacks, and we are 4-6. Which
you can't make it up.
That begs the question to be asked, is the rest of the roster garbage? Is it not? Is the rest of the roster not good? Which
is going to be a huge, huge discussion point this offseason. Like this offseason, because there is so much to discuss when it comes to that and all of the questions surrounding it. Another thing that I actually liked that I think was interesting was the run defense wasn't terrible. Like if we're talking defense, it wasn't bad. I mean, you hold Derrick Henry to 4.3 yards per carry. Like Derrick Henry's averaging what, 35 yards a carry this year, I think? I think that's accurate. It feels like that. And I mean, they have done, other than one run this year, have done a really good job on Derrick Henry, probably better than any team in the NFL has done.
Yeah, no, I think that they did a good job at Derrick Henry. Now the issues with the is defending Lamar's scramble, which his scrambling stats weren't like crazy good, but I think they came at really crucial moments. And I think that they gave crucial swings to the Ravens in the long run. I mean, we talk about that one. I think it was a third down run where Lamar Jackson just wouldn't get tackled at all. And, it was one play where he ran like 60 yards to gain like maybe like 15 or 20 yards in rush. And then they ended up, you know, getting to the 1 yard line and scoring a touchdown there. But it's stuff like that, that you got to find a way to combat is, you know, the athleticism of some of the quarterbacks in this league.
Cause it's only going to get more and more athletic.
Yeah, it is. It's only going to get more and more athletic. Now, to be fair, we don't play Lamar Jackson again, unless we might face him in the playoffs later in the season, but I mean, you're not facing Lamar Jackson or Jaden Daniels going forward for the rest of the regular season. So, or Justin Fields, I guess, unless there's a change in the guard there again in Pittsburgh.
You're not going to throw Jameis Winston into elite athlete category?
I think that would be negligent.
Or maybe it'll be DTR again. You never really know with that Browns team. Maybe Joe Flacco will leave the Colts and go become a Brown again. Maybe they'll actually have something. Or what other Tom Brady to the Browns? Like what other old quarterback can they pick off of the streets?
Fitzmagic, man. Fitzmagic.
Matt Ryan.
Josh McCown.
There you go. Josh McCown. Isn't he coaching somewhere? No, his son is like the quarterback.
UTSA.
Yeah, that's right.
He's like the McCown. There. Yeah, he torched Marshall in their bowl game last year.
Of course he did.
But yeah, another thing I want to talk about, let's talk about what Mrs. Taylor wrote. I can't remember Mrs. Taylor.
Sarah.
Is it Sarah? Sarah. Mm-hmm. I was going to say Sarah. And apparently her and her family have received a lot of negative attention, whether it's in public or online from Bengals fans because the season hasn't gone the way we necessarily wanted it to go. And I think that's just I don't see why she'd be lying about it or anything, but that's just absolutely despicable from our fan base. And, I think we should be better in situations like that. You know, at the end of the day, it's a football game, you know, yeah, it's a franchise. You spend your season tickets on, you spend all this, you know, you spend money on merchandise. And you've watched the team for 30 years. I mean, I don't give a shit. Like that's, you know, that's horrible for,
especially for his son. Like,
yeah.
Like leave the kids alone.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, these guys are all human beings, right? Like these guys are human beings. They have their own flaws. Has the season gone the way we wanted it to go? It hasn't. But at the end of the day, it is a game. It's a game. It's our entertainment to watch. And yeah, like I guess enough said there. It's really disappointing to hear that.
Well, between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Well said. Some things that that stand out, I think, that we got to talk about that we didn't like, and I think it's got to start with the play that changed the game. And that was Chase Brown's fumble.
Oh, I was going to go with the other play that changed the game.
Well, I think Chase Brown's fumble was the first play that changed the game.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
You're up 21-7. You have the ball, a chance to go up three scores. Can't fumble the ball. Bengals kick a field goal there. I even think if the Bengals would have driven down and punted, they'd have won the football game.
They definitely could have. I mean, they were... You know, they needed to chew some clock in some of these drives, especially when you're up two scores in the game. And, yeah, that just can't happen. You know, it's situations like that where I miss Joe Mixon a little bit because the guy just never fumbled the football. But, yeah, can't do that. Khalil Herbert had a fumble on his one rush attempt. Not great. I'm not off the Khalil Herbert train. I think he'll – contribute to the offense at some point, but yeah, wasn't a great start to the to his Bengals career. But yeah, I was going to talk about the other play that I think changed the game a lot, which was the worst. And I don't want to steal this from James Rapine, but I definitely agree with him. The worst tackling, I guess, play I think I've ever seen, ever. Like it was awful. It was so bad.
And you're talking the 84-yard touchdown.
Yeah, who gave up the sideline? Who pulled a WJ3 on the sideline?
Cam Taylor Britt was the first one, and then it was Logan Wilson, and then it was Geno Stone.
Geno Stone was the William Jackson III. Like, I'm not even going to touch the guy on the sideline.
because Cam Taylor-Britt was the player. He broke the tackle on him because Cam Taylor-Britt was in coverage on that play.
Yes.
And it clearly was to Geno Stone and to Logan Wilson, and they shouldn't have this faith in their teammates. Was they thought, there's no way that Cam Taylor-Britt is not going to be able to, at worst, push the guy out of bounds. Well, guess what? Nope. That play right there was where I was like, well, this is a bad loss.
Yeah. That was horrendous. I don't know any other way to put it. Like, that was
embarrassing.
that was easily the most embarrassing play I think I can remember the Bengals having in a very, very long time. Like, my God, it was so the most embarrassing play since Michael Jordan tore Joe Burrow's knee apart that's probably
it's pretty much up there with that. But I mean, the coverage game for the Bengals as well. And we had at the beginning of the season make our bold predictions, and we both had one that's looking real bad right now. Yours was Jermaine Burton is going to be a Rookie of the Year candidate. And mine was that Cam Taylor-Britt will have 8+ interceptions and will play really, really well. I don't know which one of ours is worse. Both pretty bad.
What the hell has happened to CTB? Like, what? And
that is what I kind of wanted to discuss right now is, you know, targeted 8 times, 7 catches for 116 yards and 2 touchdowns. Now, he did
have 2 PBUs, by the way,
which is wild. When you consider all of that, 84 of those 116 yards, though, did come on one play. So 6 for whatever it is for 40 and the other 2. But the dropped interception, like the first one, I think was okay to break up. But the second one, that is a play that Cam Taylor-Britt wants to be considered as a top level corner in the NFL. That is a play that a top level corner in the NFL makes.
Yeah.
You got to just find a way. Lamar gave you one. He gifted you one. You got to find a way to come down with it.
Yeah, no, you do. You do. It's so crazy. Just over the course of the past 2 months, we have gone from Cam Taylor-Britt is a future, is a future piece of this franchise and a future franchise player at the quarterback position to, I don't know if this guy should be starting next year.
What kind of to build upon that is I'm thinking of Bengals have to draft a corner in the first round. Like if there's one there, like are we, cause I mean, do you have faith in any of those guys? I mean,
I have faith in Dax and I think DJ Turner has shown some improvement this year.
But still, Dax Hill's still going to be coming off of an ACL. Now, that is not as big of a deal as it was even 5 years ago. But as a corner, that is one position where you at least have to keep a question mark on it. I mean, your most reliable coverage guy right now is Mike Hilton, and Mike Hilton's over 30.
Yeah.
That is a big concern for this team. And it probably doesn't help them that the Bengals have one pass rusher.
No.
They have one pass rusher, and then the backside has not been good.
Yeah, and I hindsight's 20/20, I know, but I wonder if this defensive backfield's missing. They've been missing their quarterback for the past 2 years, which I think we might be giving a lot more credit to Jesse Bates than we were a couple of years ago and how he was kind of the quarterback of that defensive backfield and made sure everybody was in the right spots and executing their jobs in the right way. Like, are you missing that leadership in there? Because I thought Von Bell was going to provide that this season, and he's been, he's not played good. So you got to wonder, are they kind of missing that aspect of their team right now? I mean, I haven't seen this bad of defensive back play since
2019.
I was going to say like
2018.
I was going to say like the post Reggie Nelson era, I would say, for the Bengals, because they had issues. And I guess really from 2016 to 2018.
Shout out to BW Webb.
BW Webb, yeah, that's a name. That's a
shout out to BW Webb. And remember, they were going to sign the guy that was going to save everything, Trey Waynes. Yay.
Yeah, it's they're gonna have to find a guy, and you know, I think the cornerback class in the free agency is usually pretty deep. Whenever that time ends up coming around, but yeah, I think you need to find some guys back there that can do better. And who knows, maybe that does get solved with the pass rush. You know, maybe that gets solved with another pass rusher. Or,
I mean, you saw some good things from Miles Murphy in limited snaps. And he had 7 pass rushing snaps and had a pressure. So those are some good things that you can build upon. But another thing, if we switch back to the offense, something that I didn't like, and it's something we've touched on a couple of times throughout, was, you know, Joe Burrow was running for his life the entire night. And primarily, though, I mean, I was kind of surprised that Cody Ford graded as well as he did, because the eye test made it look probably worse than it was. But the guards, Cordell and Kappa, combine per PFF, 14 pressures, 12 hurries, and a quarterback hit and a sack.
Yeah, Nnamdi Madubuike had an absolute
he
game.
Ate their lunch.
He had like 10 total pressures in that game, 3 sacks. Now, to be fair, the offensive line was only charged with 1 sack, so 2 of those sacks were on Joe Burrow. But still, you gave up 30 pressures out of 66 dropbacks. Or 60, yeah, I think 66.
That's absurd numbers.
Yeah.
And let's be real, the Ravens pass rush is not elite. It's good, but I wouldn't classify it in the elite category.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a top 10, like a fringe top 10 pass rush.
Yeah. But it's just, that has been the biggest, because here's the thing. You think the Ravens pass rush is good? Well, get ready in a couple of weeks. December the 1st.
Get ready for this Sunday. Khalil Mack's coming. You're going to be going up against Khalil Mack.
I don't know. We'll talk about that a little bit. That's what we call a tease there, Mick. We'll come up to that in a few minutes. But I mean,
I didn't see him on the injury report, is he?
Well, you missed him because he is on there.
I looked at it last night. That must have came on.
Well, this is today. So yeah. Update. We'll get to that here in a couple of minutes. You mentioned a little bit with the NFL officials, and I just wanted to at least touch on that. And you mentioned the point of, well, they can't call a penalty on every play. But on a play that means the game, you have to call a penalty. And the fact that there were multiple that were not called is embarrassing. And yeah, that's just kind of great. To the point of, and I'm not saying that's the reason the Bengals lost the game. There's plenty of reasons that we've just discussed. It's the reason the Bengals lost the football game. I don't even know how this can be fixed easily. Do you put another official on the field? Do you allow I saw one recommendation of you give NFL coaches a blue flag that they can throw in the under 2 minutes that will challenge a penalty. But then again, we learned a couple of years ago when they had the pass interference challenging that the NFL doesn't like to admit they were wrong. It didn't work. Yeah, even if it was, they just would never change it. I don't know how you fix that, but it is also wild that Joe Burrow cannot get these calls.
Yeah, I agree. And Joe definitely voices frustrations about that. But there were 2 blatant non-calls in there. And the fact that I think the NFL has just missed so many face masks in general this season. And, like, that's concerning because, like, That could damage your neck. Like, that could damage a player's neck. Like, you could. It's a 15-yard penalty for a reason. Like, it's a very dangerous thing to be going for somebody's face mask like that. So it's, I don't know. It's
something that
I don't know. I don't know what can be fixed either.
Yeah, and
maybe don't find yourselves in situations where you're relying on a 2-point conversion to win the game. I mean, that's the only other thing I think of as a solution for the Bengals.
And I agree with that, but at the same time, if it comes down to that, they need to make the right call.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of one of those things. Do you have anything else, or do we want to jump into the Chargers here, since we've already spent a lot of time talking about the Ravens?
I could jump into the Chargers.
Chargers on Sunday Night Football, some injury report to talk about for the Bengals. Joe Bocci, Orlando Brown, BJ Hill, and Charlie Jones all did not practice today. For me, the big one is Orlando Brown. and BJ Hill. You know, I don't know that Joe Bocci and Charlie Jones, that's a huge loss on either side. Bocci, special teams guy. The positive is that T. Higgins was limited today, which is usually a good sign for playing on Sunday. Logan Wilson and Trey Hendrickson were also both limited earlier today. For the Chargers, Hayden Hurst and Khalil Mack did not practice today. Hayden Hurst was a personal reason, and Khalil Mack was for an injury. Now, that could be a Khalil Mack pretty much a Veterans Day. You know, that they'll do that a lot late in the season. Khalil Mack getting up there in age. It could be that, but that is something to keep an eye on as this week goes along.
It's a groin injury with Khalil Mack.
And that, I mean, it could be one of those things that they just wanted to give him a day off. And maybe that groin's been bothering him just a little bit. But if he doesn't play, that is huge for the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday. And we'll talk more about that when we get to the Chargers defense. But I think the simple fact of this is, Mick, is that this is a must-win game for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the – and I didn't see – I feel like it's probably up now, but the playoff chances per the NFL playoff predictor, if we look here – wait, NFL playoff.
Because the Chargers right now sit ahead of the Bengals in the playoff standings. And they have, I mean, but they are a very interesting team as well. Because you look at it, their wins, they're kind of similar to the Bengals in a realm. As of their wins are Raiders, Panthers, Broncos, Saints, Browns, Titans. I don't know that anybody in there was like any of those great wins. Maybe the Broncos, maybe that's a great win, but that's a divisional. And your losses are to the Steelers, Chiefs, and Cardinals. So three teams that are all in the playoffs that aren't necessarily bad losses either. Similar to the Bengals, where the Bengals don't, I mean, I guess the Bengals do have a bad loss to the Patriots, but other than that, they've been pretty much straight up of losing to good teams and beating the teams they should beat.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so, do you have the playoff numbers there in front of you?
Yeah. So right now we have a 27% chance to make it in the playoffs. If we win, it's a 40% chance. If we lose, it is down to 15%. So that is, that's a 25% swing between those two, you know, between the floor and the ceiling there for this game. That's got to be probably one of the highest in the league for a game this week. So, I mean, that's a huge game. It's a huge game for the Bengals. And right now they're still in the thick of this seven seed hunt right here between them, the Broncos, and the Colts. So now you're kind of in that mode of hoping that those two teams lose.
Yeah, because whether it's the Chiefs, the Ravens, or the Bills who get that two seed, it'll probably be one of those three teams. Probably the Bills or the Ravens will probably be it. I still don't think the Steelers, now that the Steelers' schedule is going to get hard, are in that. But if you were the Ravens or the Bills, you would be scared out of your mind if week one of the playoffs, you're the two seed and in comes rolling a seven seeded Joe Burrow.
Yeah,
I don't care how bad the Bengals' defense is. You would not want to see that as your home playoff opener as a two seed. Congratulations. And
just to give the Ravens, if it's the Ravens, I mean, you've played them twice this year in both games have came down to one or two plays. Really? Mm-hmm. I mean, they've come down to one or two plays. First game came down to the missed field goal in overtime. This one came down to a failed 2-point conversion. Nobody would want to play a seven seed Bengals, and I guarantee none of these guys would want to play the Bengals late in the season trying to fight for playoff positioning as well.
Yeah, because I mean, you look at this. You're telling me if I'm Lamar Jackson, would I rather host Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins, or Anthony Richardson?
Yeah, it might not be Anthony Richardson, but yes.
Well, he's back starting. He's back starting again this week, so. Who knows? Well, who knows who it could be starting by the time the playoffs roll around? But okay, Joe Flacco. Like, it is a drastic difference between these two. When we talk about the Chargers, Justin Herbert having a really good season. 66 completion percentage, 1,900 yards, 11 touchdowns, only one interception. His receivers, Ladd McConkey, who is, I believe, one of your guys, Mick, coming out of the draft out of Georgia, having a really solid rookie season. Quentin Johnson, and you've also got Josh Palmer as his receivers. This is a solid offense. J.K. Dobbins has also kind of been back to his form of what you saw in Baltimore.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it stole the words right out of my mouth. I think that the offense has been sneakily good for the Chargers so far this season, and at the helm, like you said, Justin Herbert is quietly playing like one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Now, the box score stats aren't going to tell that to you, but if you look at the grading, if you look at the more advanced metrics, like Justin Herbert leads the league in big-time throw rate at 6.7% by PFF. That's not something to take lightly there. I think Justin Herbert is playing really good ball right now. Like the box score numbers may not show it, but it's just kind of like one of those, dare I say, like an Alex Smith type of season where it's just really efficient. He's making all the right plays, and they're just not asking him to do as much as they would ask, like as much as like we're asking for Joe Burrow to do, or for the Ravens, for Lamar Jackson to do, and et cetera. So Justin Herbert's having a good year. J.K. Dobbins, like you said, has been back. He's been explosive. The yards after contact rate aren't that great for him, and the run grade is not that great, but I think he does have a lot of explosion with breakaway yards. He ranks seventh in the league in breakaway yardage rate. Lab McHockey, like you said, playing really good this season, 13th in the NFL in yards per route ran. And then offensive line is really the only like question mark of this team, where their tackles are really good with Joe Walt and LaShawn Slater, but the interior offensive line has been a problem, to say the least, for them.
That's exactly what I wrote down. Great at tackle, questionable up the middle.
Questionable isn't even adequate, but they're just not good. They're bad in the middle. So it's a game where you really hope BJ Hill's healthy, because this is a game where he could have some good opportunities. Hopefully this is a game where Chris Jenkins can maybe come out of his shell a little bit, maybe provide some more pass rush than what we've seen from him so far. But yeah, so I think the offense has been good, and then the defense has quietly been a top 10 defense in the league this year. They're just the Chargers are a well-rounded football team this season. This year, the Jim Harbaugh effect, I think, is real.
They are, good against the pass, not great against the run. If you're just going yardage twice, but yeah,
they have the best run defender in the NFL right now in Khalil Mack.
Who may or may not play.
Yeah,
the pass rush is interesting.
It's a lot like ours.
It is, and that's probably a good way to describe it, because if you're doing it and looking at numbers wise, they have the second lowest pressure percentage in the league, and they're lowest in hurries per drop back and knockdowns per attempt, meaning that they're not really getting any pressure, but they have the fourth most sacks in the league. So it's one of those things that if they come, they're getting to the quarterback. It's either a sack or it's nothing really for the Chargers this season. But so it is a very weird pass rush for those Chargers. And I think honestly, like the Bengals is a good way to describe it.
Yeah. I was more going with like the route that really their pass rush is coming from really one source, which ours is Trey Hendrickson and theirs is Khalil Mack. But yeah, I think that, I think this is going to be another good game to watch. I mean, I'm kind of torn on who to pick here between these two teams as to who I think is going to win, just because I do think that the Chargers are just a really well-rounded football team right now.
Yeah, without question for that. We can already go in and hop into our picks then. Bengals at the Chargers, it'll be Sunday night football. Remember, Sunday night, this game got flexed a couple of weeks ago. Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth will be on the call, so get ready for the Chris Collinsworth post. He doesn't hate the Bengals. Stop. He does not hate the Bengals. I'm preparing for it. Referee, Brad Allen. Bengals 4-4 this year with this in the Brad Allen tenure, including this year, Commanders. He was the ref for that game. A couple other games of note. In 2022, he did the Steelers road game, which is We the Big Dogs, and the Cowboys road game. Not as great. Jags Thursday Night Football 2021.
Good.
He did the Burrow Bowl in 2018 between the Dolphins and the Bengals, which was, I mean, they lost, but it was good. And it was entertaining. 19. And then in 2017, he did the game against the Jags. You know why that game is of note?
Oh, we got blown out and AJ Green beat up Jalen Ramsey.
Exactly. He is ejected a Bengals player, and it was AJ Green.
The most mild-mannered guy.
Exactly. Hilarious with that. So that's Brad Allen, Bengals 4-4 all time with Allen as the official. I still don't know how I'm picking this game.
Yeah.
I really the Bengals have to win. Have to find a way to win. And the biggest aspect of this is that Joe Burrow is playing his best football of his career. He is playing extremely well right now. Your hope is that you're getting back T. Higgins. That's only probably going to help Joe Burrow. You're also hoping, I know Orlando Brown Jr. did not practice today. Hopefully that's just a precaution. And he will play again on Sunday. It sounded like he almost was going to play on Thursday. So you would imagine that he would be good to play this coming Sunday. You're getting that offense continuing to be healthy. Now the defense, if P.J. Hill doesn't play, that's a big loss. Especially against an interior offensive line of the Chargers that is not good. But this is one of these where you have to look at Joe Burrow again and say, dude, sorry, guess what? You win the football game again.
Yeah. Couldn't say it any better.
I'm making you pick first. I picked first last week.
Chargers 24, Bengals 20.
That was almost identical to what I was going to say.
Shit. Are you doing the opposite? The 24 Bengals?
Chargers, you know what? 20. I was going to literally say the same exact, literally, like Chargers 24, Bengals 20. But you know what? Because of that, to be different, I'm gonna switch it and say Bengals 24, Chargers 20. Burrow finds a way. Burrow finds a way to win in the end. And you know what? Here we go. How about we get a defensive player makes a play in the fourth quarter? Somebody makes a play, whether it's an interception, a forced fumble, a pushes a guy out of bounds when he should go out of bounds, whatever it might be, somebody is going to make a play and the Bengals are going to win the football game because of it.
All right. Holding you to it. Frank says 35-21 Bengals.
I would love an easy evening like that. That would help out a lot.
Yeah.
Just be able to scroll through there and not have to panic whatsoever. We'll be back next week to hopefully recap a Bengals win, because if not, it's almost looking
Mock
forward to... well, you got to think about it, too, is that it really might be, because next week, you know, it's bye week, too. So we really might be doing Bengals mock drafts next week if the Bengals do lose. And if not, I don't know. Maybe we'll try to figure out something to do for a bye week show.
How do we fix this franchise show? That would be my idea.
Okay, there we go. So if the Bengals lose on Sunday, it is a how do we fix things moving forward? Hopefully we don't have that show again until maybe January or maybe let's just say like late February, because the Bengals go on a run, win the Super Bowl, and we aren't even saying anything about fixing things, right? But we invite you to follow us on our social media channels. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're also on Twitter, favorite podcasting platform as well. Make sure to give us a 5-star rating and follow us there as well. Any parting thoughts?
No. If you're going to the game in LA, have a safe trip over there. Give Joe Burrow some good luck over there. Another storyline. Joe Burrow's return to SoFi Stadium since that fateful day in February of 2022. So, give Burrow some good luck over there, and again, just have a really good time.
You get Chris Collinsworth, too, on the call. He was on the call of that game. I guess Al Michaels play-by-play. I don't think Tirico had taken over. Well, yeah, I think it was Al Michaels. Yeah, I think it was Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. Yeah. I knew Chris Collinsworth was on there. So you get that storyline as well. But I don't complain about Chris Collinsworth. I don't want to hear it. He's fine.
I like Chris Collinsworth.
He's a really good color analyst. He's probably the best NFL color analyst.
Now, I didn't think he was great in the Giants game that we watched. I don't know what it was, but I feel like he missed a lot of things or just sounded really odd at times during that game. But usually, I think, generally, I think Chris Collinsworth is pretty good.
I don't even remember. I was so nervous that game, and finally they won because that was one of the ones that they just needed to find a way to win. So I was just happy that they finally got the job done. So we'll see you next week on next week's edition of Jungle Juice. Until then, Hooday.
Hooday. Thanks for watching.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, oh, oh.